This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village. I'm your host, Walter Rigobond. Joining me as usual in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
I'm doing great this morning. Just to let our listeners know what's happening on the show today. After the first break, we'll be chatting with Jay Skirsky. Jay Bill's writer for the Buffalo Evening News, and he's going to bring us up to date on everything that's happening with our beloved Buffalo Bills, Naz. And I noticed that you're sporting your Buffalo Bills cap this morning.
I am.
And your, let me keep going. Your University of Alabama Roll Tide hoodie, I guess. That's what it is.
And you got the Notre Dame
night at this morning. I'm wearing my green, Naz, my Fighting Irish. My beloved Fighting Irish laid a little bit about
USC last night.
Beat the hated Trojans 48-20. So had a tough one the week before against Louisville, and we settled the score with the Trojans. We may get into some NCAA talk. And bottom end of the hour, it's going to be a really important segment. And I know, Naz, that this one's important to you. Barry Melrose, I don't know if our listeners have heard, he's taken a break. He's stepped aside from ESPN because this week he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And Barry has graciously spoke with him and his wife yesterday and graciously agreed to come on our show to talk about that. And as some of our listeners are aware, some may not be aware, that you were diagnosed with Parkinson's.
In 2008.
And so, you know, Parkinson's is obviously challenging. I've seen you for the 10 years we've been on the air deal with it with incredible courage. I think the message that we like to pass on is that, you know, life exists. You deal with your challenges, but you go about your daily business and you do the best you can. And as our listeners know, for 10 years, you've done a remarkable job on this show dealing with those challenges. And we get the privilege of talking to Barry Melrose. And I'm sure he'd love to hear about some of your experiences. So we'll deal with that in the second half of the show. Last night, a couple of my beloved teams got some fantastic results. The Toronto Maple Leafs, let's go there first. My beloved Fighting Irish. Unfortunately, I was out on a social occasion last night, and I got two beloved teams, and I didn't even get to watch
the
games.
Young fellow Austin Matthews is on fire.
Yeah, so Naz, we were chatting in the car on the way down. I watched some of the highlights. Obviously, Austin Matthews hat trick in the first game against the Habs, and a hat trick in last night's game. Only the second time in the last 100 years that a player has started off the season with back-to-back hat tricks. The other player being Alex Ovechkin, the Great Eight, at the beginning of the 2017 season. And Matthews did it last night. He's on a roll, Naz. I'm sure you watched it. So what's your impressions?
He's playing both ends of the rink. He kills penalties now. What a hockey player. And William Nylander, you have to say this. He looks fantastic out there. And it's his contract year, right?
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, we, you know, obviously contract year would make anybody a little bit more motivated because, you know, his results from this year are to a significant extent will determine his compensation during the prime of his career, which will be, you know, which he is in the prime of his career right now. and he's going to have to sign a contract at the end of this year. He could, if he goes on the free agent market, he could be worth a few bucks, Ness. We've never doubted William Nylander's talent. This kid, for lack of a better term, is an all-world talent.
And he brings it at playoff time. We were talking about this today. Morgan Riley
We talked about it last Sunday. I said the key to the Leafs season this year, there's a lot of keys to the Leafs season, but in my estimation, it's Nylander and Riley, because those are the two guys. If I recall back, looking back at their performance in the playoffs last year against Tampa and against Florida, Riley certainly elevated his performance, certainly from an offensive point of view. And Nylander, gets a lot of criticism in amongst Leaf Nation, amongst some people, for sometimes he gets criticized because he doesn't go to the dirty areas. Yeah, I mean, I get it. But, that's probably not his skill set, is it? Right?
He's doing more of that.
So well, he's doing more of it. And that's great. And he gets, often criticized for being a peripheral player. But when you've got that kind of talent, you exploit whatever you can on the ice. And, his ability, his edge work on his skates and his ability to lose defenders when he gets the puck by, circling is talent wise, there's no question he's one of the best players in the league. I don't think you can question that. And, and you look at the Leafs have scored
12 goals
in the first two games.
Yep.
Matthews and Nylander have 9 of them.
Yep.
So, that seems to be where the success of the Toronto Maple Leafs is going to come from an offensive point of view this year.
He's going to be asking for $10 million at least. I think he'll be in the Mitch Marner era.
Well, in today's NHL, that may not be an unreasonable amount. I'm sure there will be teams that will throw him that kind of money. I guess the issue is, can Tree Living find that money, find that increase in the budget? And that's going to be a significant challenge. But, we'll see how this plays out. So far, your reaction, Naz, to the first two games?
Well, let's put it this way. Last 4 years, the Leafs have had bad luck at the beginning of the year.
Bad starts.
Bad starts, and they don't this time.
Yeah.
And they outscored their opponents. I'm a little worried about their goaltending and defense, so I really am.
Well, let's have a little chat about that. Their defense, TJ Brody doesn't... what's the fair assessment of his body of work so far? Didn't have a great playoff last year, let's be honest. Don't know whether he was suffering from injury. At the end, sometimes you get players in the playoffs that have these undisclosed injuries that significantly affects their performance. But so, we sort of gave him a pass. Can't say his first two games have been outstanding. You break down their defense. You've got Riley, who if he can play at the level that he's capable of.
He had a good night last night.
Leaf fans are really good at dishing out criticism, right? And sometimes it's justified. Let's be honest. Some of the criticisms about Riley has been his work in the defensive zone, but. You start looking at potential. They're talking about putting together a Team Canada for either the Olympics or some World Series. World Cup they're going to do in 2025. And Riley's name's always in the mix as a potential candidate for Team Canada. So, he's considered by, a lot of hockey people as one of the best Canadian defensemen in the league. So let's not lose sight of that. And Morgan Riley, if he plays at the level that with the skill set that he has, dynamic skater. We're looking for great things from him this year. You keep going down the defense. TJ Brody, we'd like to see him, up his game a little bit. Be the TJ Brody he was when he came here.
The guy that worries me is McCabe. He gives the puck away too often.
Yeah, when they brought him in, he was brought in, and there was a lot of hype about it. But so far, it doesn't seem like the hype has matched the performance. He's supposed to a little bit of grit back there. Then when you move past that, what are you left with? Klingberg, who's an offensive defenseman more than a defensive one.
He's looked good.
Does he look good, Ness?
He's looked good.
And then what do we got? Lilligren and Giordano. Giordano's 40 years old, and some nights he's starting to show it, Ness.
Giordano's still playing well.
Yeah, I give him all the credit in the world, but you got to be careful with his minutes.
He likes jumping into scrums, too.
Yeah, you know, he's a leadership type.
Yeah.
You know, shows some stuff for some of the younger players on the team. I think the key to Giordano is you got to manage his minutes properly. I mean, there were times last year where Giordano was, you know, he's playing 20 minutes a game, you know, 21 minutes a game, but, you know, just because they needed him. You know, if you've got to play Giordano for a long stretch of time, bumping into 20 minutes a game, I think you're asking for trouble. I don't think that should be his role on this team. I think his role should be 12 to 14 minutes a game. And then you've got Lilligren. And, you know, Connor Timmins was having a fantastic camp, you know, put on a little bit of muscle. He was getting points, and then he got injured. So we'd love to see him back.
But Jake, where's the depth? They only have six defensemen. So
that's,
they had 9 or 10 into the...
Ultimately, I guess that's Tree Living's biggest challenge. You know, there's depth. I don't know who's, I mean, you may know better than I who's down on the Marlies, whether any of those guys down there could be of any help up top. But sooner or later, you're going to get into, let me knock on wood here. Fortunately, the desk here is wood. Sooner or later, you're likely to get some injuries. We already got it with Connor Timmins. Jake Muzzin's had to retire. He's not coming back. You know, you get a couple of these guys go down and... who's next on the list?
And they're up against the cap.
And you got cap issues.
Right.
So I'm sure that Tree Living and Brandon Pridham and the cap guys have got, you know, that's why they sit around all day trying to figure out all these contingencies and all of that. So where 7, 8, and 9 come in, I don't particularly know at this point in time, but at some point in time, You're going to be making the call down to the Marlies, and you have to bring really quickly before we go to break, Naz, goaltending. So far, we've seen a dose of Samsonov, which we've won. You don't like to get critical when you get results and you get points, but you're going to need a little bit better than that. But you know, like two games is two games. We've been through this. You know, you don't like to.
Would you rather have a 7-4 game or a 2-1 game? I'd rather have the 7-4 game. It's more exciting, but
But the 2-1 game is probably going to, if you learn to win 2-1 games, that's what you need to win the Stanley. You're not going to win the Stanley Cup in the playoffs by winning 7-4 games.
Well, the Edmonton Oilers won a few cups with offensive.
Well, that's
players,
that was a different, it was a different era. And the Leafs don't have Wayne Gretzky.
They don't.
You know, I mean, it was a different era of hockey. I think you compare today's era to the 80s. You have to, and you know, I mean, we've got to roll Joseph Woll out at some point in time. I guess maybe Monday night against Tampa might be.
He's scheduled to play Monday night against Bedard. Yeah. Bedard against Matthews. Beautiful matchup.
Isn't that great? So, you know what? We've extended our time on our first segment of the show. We better leave it at that. Leafs, obviously... everybody's back excited about this team, excited about Austin Matthews and Willie Nylander and Morgan Rielly and the rest of them. You know, we get two good results, a lot of scoring activity. It's a pretty dead crowd on Wednesday night and subject to a lot of criticism, but a lot of discussion points that for the rest of the season. But we've got to go to break, and after the break, we're going to talk about one of our other loves, Naz, the Buffalo Bills. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville declared, "We'll never be the fastest. We'll never be the cheapest. We'll never be the snazziest dressed."
What?
Yeah, my point is, we want to be the best.
At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza. Stone-baked, the traditional Italian way.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
The only thing I love more than sports is sports radio. Take it away, boys. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM. We also stream on the internet at www.zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, Jay Skursky. Jay's the Buffalo beat writer for the Buffalo Bills, for the Buffalo Evening News. The Bills are in the thick of their season, and Naz is proudly sporting his Buffalo Bills cap this morning. Jay, we're thankful. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
No problem. Happy to join you.
Thanks so much. Before we get into it, Jay, we always we make no pretension here. Naz and I are both part of the Bills Mafia. I've been since the 1960s. I go back to Jack Kemp and Albert DeBinion and some of those greats, Cookie Gilchrist. This particular edition of the Buffalo Bills, not a great start in the opening game against the Jets. Then we went. We went a game for three games, and then the NFL decided we're going to ship the Bills over to England, and that didn't work out too well. The Bills looked very sluggish the first half against first quarter at least against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Any fallout from the Bills excursion over to England and the. Whether that is such a great idea on a go-forward basis?
Well, I think they're certainly second-guessing the timing of their trip. You know, they flew over Thursday night into Friday morning. Did that give them enough time to sort of acclimate to the time change? I think that they're second-guessing that, quite frankly. Sean McDermott, came out and said as much, that they need to reevaluate, if this situation comes up again and they're chosen for another international game. How will they approach it? And certainly when you look at the, as you said, the sluggish start, you can sort of chalk that up to it. It's 9:30 in the morning, on their body clocks. And were they ready to go? I think that's a very easy thing to second guess. And I think it's something that, a lot of NFL franchises are really going to have to evaluate, because these international games, there's five of them scheduled this year. I would not be surprised if we only see that number increase. I don't believe that the NFL loves these. They're big money makers, and so it's going to come up for teams, and they're going to have to figure out the best way to approach these games, because this was an important conference game for the Bills that they weren't ready to play, quite frankly, and it cost them, and it cost them a big win in the standings.
Jay, is there a clear-cut favorite in the AFC this year?
Well, I mean, it still has to be the Chiefs. I know they haven't looked, quite as dominant as maybe we've expected in the past, and certainly offensively, I think that's mostly true. But they're 4-1. They're finding ways to win right now, which is what you have to do, and you sort of expect that offense is going to start clicking sooner or later. So for me, until somebody beats them, it's the Chiefs. I mean, I think the big surprise for me off, you know, in the AFC is just how poor the Bengals have looked to begin this season. They were my preseason pick to make it to the Super Bowl, and they've sort of disappointed. But I would say that the Chiefs, it feels like they've maybe slightly come back to the pack just because they haven't looked so dominant. But, you know, the AFC is strong, and you know, we've got to include the Dolphins in there. I think the Bills are still going to be there at the end of the season, even with, you know, all of the injuries that they're dealing with right now, particularly on defense. So I think the conference to me looks maybe a little bit more wide open than maybe we thought it would at the start of the season.
We're talking to Jay Sikorski of the Buffalo Evening News. Aside from losing the game last Sunday over in England, the Bills lost some really, really key players, and their defense right now is suffering from significant injuries to I don't want to call them irreplaceable players, but certainly when you lose players of the caliber of Matt Milano, DaQuan Jones, Tre'Davious White got injured prior to, that makes it tough. What's your assessment to how the Bills are going to fill in the gaps?
Well, I think you can call them irreplaceable. I mean, you're just not going to go out and find another Matt Milano, you know, either on the roster behind him or on your practice squad or off the street as a free agent or on another team's practice squad. They just, you know, he's an all-pro linebacker. He's one of the best players in the world at what he does at his position. And DaQuan Jones was off to a great start, and Tre'Davious White is a former all-pro as well and was really starting to get back into being the player that he was before his knee injury. And now he's got to, unfortunately, deal with a torn Achilles. And you wonder, you know, long-term, what is his future? But, you know, in the short term, how do the Bills move forward from it? I know it's cliche. It's what their answer is, but it's just next man up. That's all you can do. You know, the players that they have behind them are not going to be necessarily at the same level, but I still think they've got enough pieces that they can be an effective defense. Are they going to be one of the best defenses in the league? Probably not, but I also don't think that they need to be one of the best defenses. They need to be an average to above average defense, and the offense with an elite quarterback in Josh Allen needs to be the side of the ball that really leads the way for this team. And you know, they need to go into every game with the approach, with the mental makeup that we're going to outscore whoever it is on the other team. You know, that has to be there. Not to say that you're going to be in a shootout every single week, but the offense needs to be prepared for that. And I still think, you know, even with those defensive losses, with the way that they've been playing up front, with the pressure that they've been able to get on opposing quarterbacks, I still think they can, you know, be an effective defense. Are they going to be as good as they were? No, definitely not. There's no way around that.
How are Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen getting along these days?
They're great. They're great. I mean, I wrote an article Friday in the Buffalo News about really kind of about that very thing and about, you know, the perception and the reality of Stephon Diggs. And I mean, he's off to a dynamic, you know, fabulous start, and everything is good between those two. You have to, I know people, you know, want to wonder about that relationship a lot, but I'm here to tell you, those two are on the same page and they're producing at a really high level.
Yeah. If I was Stephon Diggs, I think I'd be happy that Josh Allen was my quarterback.
Really? I mean, you can't do much better in this league. So yeah,
no question about that. Let's size up today's game. Or is it tonight's game?
Tonight.
It's tonight, right?
Yeah, 20 tonight. Yep.
Against the Giants, what do you think the keys are for Bills' victory tonight?
Just come out and don't start slow. Come out and get ahead early in the game. I mean, the Giants, I think, are pretty close to packing it in this year. I mean, 1-4, they're dealing with a terrible run of injuries. Their starting quarterback is out tonight. I think they're always going to play hard for Brian Daboll. That's just the kind of coach he is. And, you know, it's a great story with him coming back. I know, obviously, he wishes that, you know, things were going differently for the Giants season and that they were having a little more success. But Daboll is a great human being, and it's been really nice to see, you know, what he's been able to accomplish since leaving Buffalo, particularly last year in New York. But obviously, you know, again, tough start for them. But I think this is a game that the Bills, this is a get-right game for the Bills, right? This is one that you bounce back from last week, and you know, that sluggish performance. You come out, get the crowd behind you early, and sort of, you know, give the Giants, you know, not much hope, and I think that they should be able to do that. So I would expect a fairly sizable Bills victory in this game. And if that doesn't happen, I think it's cause for a little bit of concern.
Will we be seeing Von Miller today more?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's going to play, and his snap counts will go up from last week. They're kind of easing him back into action, and I would he came out of that game doing well, and so I would expect that he's going to play more tonight than he did last week, for sure.
Who do you, you know, the Bills have had a crack against the Jets. They've had a crack against the Dolphins. Not a great result on one side, but they get the Jets in Orchard Park the next time around. Dolphins, they're going to have to go down to South Florida. Is that going to be a dogfight, the Bills to win the AFC East between the three of those teams? I know the Jets are up against it without having Rodgers as their quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see the Jets being there at the end without Rodgers. I mean, you know, Zach Wilson, I think, has had a couple of nice performances, one against, in particular, against Kansas City. But, no, this division's going to come down to the Bills and to the Dolphins, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if that Week 17 game in Miami is very meaningful in terms of the division race.
Are you surprised at the running game for the Bills? It looks pretty good so far this year.
Yeah, James Cook, I think, has done a nice job. The Latavius Murray and Damian Harris have contributed in spots. And, you know, the thing that it's done is they've lessened the amount that they have to run with Josh Allen, which is big. And, you know, Cook, I think, is a talented guy. This is never going to be a run-first team, but you want to have the threat or the ability to run. And I think they've added that mostly. Now, last week against Jacksonville was a very bad day on the ground. So that's something that, again, you know, going back to tonight's game, that they'll be looking to try to add to, is to get that ground game going again. But you're right. I think it has been improved for the most part through the first five games.
Anywhere else on the Bills lineup, Jay, were any injury troubles anywhere else on the offense and the line? Anything else that's concerning of any kind?
The tight ends, Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, are both questionable tonight. I think they'll both play, but they're both dealing with some injuries. Kincaid was in the league's concussion protocol, and Dawson Knox was dealing with a wrist injury. But it does sound like both of them are going to be able to play. But that's something to keep an eye on, because they do use those two tight ends quite a bit in their offensive formations.
Jay, before we let you go, I just want to change the subject just really, really quickly. Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah.
Remarkable job of signing their two young superstar defensemen. Give us a Power and Dahlin. Give us an assessment of the Sabres.
Yeah. I think, you know, obviously a tough start for them here this year to drop the first couple of games. But I think this is a team that's going to be there in the long run. I think they've got all of the pieces in place, if they get the goaltending, to make a playoff run. And, you know, they're putting a lot on Devon Levi, their young goaltender. But, you know, the job that they've done to sign up their core long-term, Dahlin, Power, Tage Thompson, Dylan Cousins, is great. I mean, this is a team that I think has really built this thing the right way and is going to be there. And they have to take the next step, though, now. And the next step for them is a playoff berth.
Yeah, it's certainly remarkable. You've tied up all their superstar talent at basically mostly at around the $7 million a year level, which is, in today's NHL, that's, you know, if you don't have to go to $10 million or whatever, that's a significant accomplishment by the GM. That creates options for him in the future. So
they've done a really nice job.
We'll certainly keep an eye out for the Sabre. Jay, we're gonna let you go. We're gonna thank you. Thanks for keeping our listeners up to date what's going on down in Western New York, and we'll leave you with this. Go Bills. Let's do it.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Jay Skursky of the Buffalo Evening News. We're going to take it to break now. As I discussed earlier in the show, this is going to be an important segment on the show. If you've heard Barry Melrose, the ESPN hockey commentator, former coach of the LA Kings, and also former Toronto Maple Leaf. I'm sure you remember him in a Leafs uniform, Naz.
Yeah, proud Canadian, too.
Proud Canadian, Wendell Clark's cousin. Announced on Tuesday that he was stepping aside because he's been diagnosed with Parkinson's, and he's graciously agreed to come on the show, and we're going to go to break and get him on the line, and we'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville declared, "We'll never be the fastest! We'll never be the cheapest! We'll never be the snazziest dressed!"
What?
Yeah, my point is, we want to be the best!
At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza, stone-baked. the traditional Italian way.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Are they ever wrong about sports? I can answer that in two words. Impossible. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM. We also live stream on the internet at zoomerradio.ca. It's a privilege to welcome this morning to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour Barry Melrose. Barry, former coach with the LA Kings, ESPN hockey analyst for so many years, so important to the game and broadcasting in the United States, and also a Toronto Maple Leaf for a brief spell in the 1980s. Barry was diagnosed with Parkinson's. Barry went public with it this week, and we're thrilled that Barry has agreed to join us this morning to talk about it. As many of our listeners know, the gentleman that sits across from me every Sunday morning, Naz Marchese, my co-host for 10 years, was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2008, if I'm not mistaken, Naz. And you've met those challenges, and you've been an inspiration to me for all the years that we've been on the air. So very, very quickly, I would just say to Barry Melrose, Barry, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to your wife, Cindy. I spoke with her yesterday. How are you, my friend?
Pretty good. I think when you roll everything out and take a look at what's happening, I've been able to fight through a lot of things in my life with hockey, whether it's a fight or whether it's an injury or something like that. I've always been able to fight through it, And I'll be giving everything I have to fight through this. I don't know much about it. I've got a lot of friends that are fighting it the same as me, and tough guys. So we're all going to be tested. And I was a Toronto Maple Leaf for 3 years. I love Toronto. I grew up cheering for Toronto. And it's just thank you very much for having me back. I've got a lot of friends left in Toronto also, but it's going to be a battle. It's going to be tough, and it's going to be very tough on my wife. From what I hear, it's and you can certainly see it when you're around your house, because we're not home much. I'm not home much in the old days, but now all of a sudden I'm wide open. I can do things 24/7. So. I'll be looking at it, that also, but it's just, I don't know anything about it. I don't know what I have to do. I've got good people telling me, and maybe some of them will have a magic cure.
Barry, how are you diagnosed? I have Parkinson's, and I've had it since 2008. How are you diagnosed?
I don't know enough about it for that. I just know that you have to take your medicine. Very, very importantly, you have to battle You have to exercise. It's very important. You can't sit around the house and watch TV. And I'm a big TV watcher, and that hurts. but it's just that seems to be the thing. It's movement pills, and you do what the doctors say.
Barry, what was your first sense that there was something wrong? When did you first get the feeling that there's something off here, and what were the symptoms?
The one that grabbed my attention was shaking hand. I love to read and stuff, and I couldn't read. My hands would shake, and thus, obviously you can't listen, or you can't look at when you're having trouble looking. So that was the main one when I was younger. Actually, one of my cameramen, my buddies, I said, geez, look at my or Tony Florkowski, one of our directors. And I said, Tony, do you see something wrong with me? Do you see? And Tony had been, he said, no, Barry. And so I let it pass. And then he looked at me again and he said, Barry, there is something wrong. I didn't look at it last time. I didn't spend any time. You're just such a big bull. I figured it wasn't a big deal. But Tony looked over and saw my hand shaking. And that was it. That was the thing that started it. And it's been a slow thing. I don't shake much more now than I did then, but it's certainly something that I can see, and it is getting stronger and stronger. That I'm having trouble reading. I'm having trouble memory. I'm having trouble, things like falling when I'm riding stuff. So. But it was just a simple thing of your hand shaking when you're doing sports and you're doing other things. And that's the first thing I noticed. And that was at ESPN. And it's been getting worse and worse and worse and worse ever since that day.
Naz, I want to if I get the opportunity, I'm sure Barry might be interested in listening to this. What were your first symptoms, and what can your course of treatment over the course of 15 years, what have they been able to do for you?
Well, I've had DBS surgery, deep brain stimulation, and that's helped a lot because I used to shake all the time, but not now. But it's not for everybody, and you have to be very careful. Now, Barry, did they have any? Did they prescribe any medication to you at all?
Yes, we have a. The main one seems to be carbidopa.
Yeah.
25 to 250s, and there's a couple other ones that I take one a day, but that's the big one, and it seems. That's the one common one that everyone gets. So, that's definitely the one that they give to me, and I have to have three a day, morning, noon, and night.
So you got a low amount at the beginning. It gets worse, eh? It does get worse, but you can handle it. And exercise.
Yeah, right now,
exercise is very important. Very important, Barry.
Yeah, I seem to whoever I talk to. Definitely says that the exercise is important, and I'm an athlete, obviously, and I feel good, and so my wife and I have made a commitment that we're going to start spending more time walking and spending more time on a bike. But then you get to a point where the bike, and that's dangerous because I'm not a great bike rider I'm not very good on a bike right now. I'm losing my strength on a bike, so that's the next thing I need to go out and get run over by a truck. So that will be a little ways in the way, but that definitely is talked about. Whoever I talk about, and I can't believe all the guys I've talked about that has it. I can't believe it. There's Stevie Ludzig and I talked yesterday. He was a coach in the NHL. A lot of friends of mine have it. We do a Bible study in Ontario and all through Canada, and a lot of them have it. I'm very lucky. Like people, they'll say about hit about talk, that is the certainly something that you got to do. So that's something that Cindy and myself are going to start doing.
I understand Michael J. Fox gave you a call. That's amazing. He's my hero, Barry.
he's the best. I just listened to him, and when I went through and first time I talked to Michael, he diagnosed what was happening to me, and that's exactly what's happening to me. So it's and he's a great guy. He's obviously such a famous person in Canada, and such a warrior, and hopefully I can do some of the same stuff.
I was saying to my wife when I told her that there was a figure of 100,000 Canadians have Parkinson's. I think that's a lot more than that, because I know a lot of people just like yourself that is going through it. So I don't see 100,000 being it. And I see, I go down to Toronto Western Hospital for treatments, and they do a great job. Dr. Lang and Dr. Fasano have been great with me. And I see the people down there, and there's a lot more than 100,000, I think.
No, I agree with you. I can't. I knew there was a lot of it, but it's just it seems so much more now than it was even a few years ago when the first time I got noticed. So it's I agree with you. I think there's more than that also.
Barry, we're talking to Barry Melrose. Barry, I got the opportunity to talk to your wife Cindy very, very briefly yesterday. She came on the phone. And I saw your tweet earlier in the week, of course. She sounds like she's been an inspiration to you, an incredible support. Just tell her all the amazing things she's doing for you.
Well, she knows. She's the boss.
I feel the same way with my wife. Yeah.
Yeah. My memory's starting to go. I don't know if that happened to you.
Yeah,
but that's starting, and I got it. She has to read a lot for me. Like I said, when we have Bible study and stuff, she has to help me. But again, one of my friends that I haven't seen in a long time will see me and they'll say and hear me on TV and say, "Barry, you sound great. You sound great." And then someone else says, "You look great. Everything." And then what's wrong with me? Why can't these things work? Why is it affecting me when I can't even see that there's something wrong with my me? So it's a funny thing. I'm certainly surprised by all this stuff, and I got a long way to go, but it's certainly it getting worse? It doesn't seem to be getting worse, but then somebody will say, "Is something wrong, Barry? What's going on, Barry?" Things like that. So I'm just going to do what the doctors say.
Yeah, some move slower and some move faster, that's for sure.
Barry, I want to, you made the announcement, you went public with it this week, and then there's been an incredible outpouring of support. And these aren't, I just want to make it clear to our listeners, these aren't obituaries, these are tributes. Because, I look at this guy, the other side of this studio for me, Mr. Naz Marchese, who's been dealing with this for over 15 years. So you got a lot left in you, Barry. But the outpouring of tributes, and of course, one especially from one of your players from the early 1990s, LA Kings. Great tribute from the great one, Wayne Gretzky. There's a great tribute from Scott Van Pelt. I went through a lot of them, and it just reminded me of what an incredible career you had and still have in broadcasting in the United States, how much you've meant to the game in the United States and growing the game on ESPN. In all those years in the wilderness where not very many people were watching hockey in the United States, you were making American hockey fans, and you were making them passionate, and it was a great refresher for me to go through some of the material that's on the internet this week. But heartfelt tributes from so many people, what'd that mean to you?
Oh, it's just shows what a great bunch of guys I worked with, I love them too. They've seen me go through this, And they were right there with me. And, you know, I looked at those two, and some of them were from, hockey, a game. Others are, you know, just wondering what's, excuse me, I'm rammed a little bit because when I get fired up and stuff, I do ramble. And sometimes it doesn't make me sound so good, but it's, I've been around great people. Gretz is a great example. Kelly Rudy is a great example. I've got so many friends. Tig from where the guy from he's from Saskatoon. His mom and dad. He was in one of those series in living in L.A. And he was great. I just loved talking to him, and just so many common guys, so many just great guys too. So I'm very fortunate. I know that, it's been a great ride up to now, and I'm not really sure where this ride is going or where it's going to stop.
Do you think this relates to concussions? What the diagnosis of Parkinson's is in this case?
I've been hit a lot of times, and everybody I know has been hit many times. If you're a physical player, growing up the era that I grew up in, you're getting hit, and then people will say, "Well, Barry, why didn't you quit?" And hockey players don't quit. We didn't in that era.
No kidding.
In that era, you're playing. And you're playing, and you're playing hard, and you're doing what the coach says, and a battle like that. And do I think it was caused by that? I don't know. I don't know. I just know my era, there was a lot of physical play, there was a lot of speed, there was a lot of aggressiveness, there was very poor equipment that we wore, and. Some of it, I think, helmets in those days, you just couldn't protect yourself with the equipment that they gave you. So that's what I know. It's I saw it. A lot of my friends have it, and that's what I've seen over the last number of years.
You know, going down a little bit of memory lane this week, Barry, just looking at some of the old material that was around with you and some of the great segments you did on SportsCenter, on ESPN, some of the great interviews you did. And the one thing that came back home, refreshed my memory, is your fantastic haircut. And there was that one kid in that one segment. They asked him what kind of a haircut he had, and he called it a Barry Melrose. so you certainly, for that legacy, you're a character. You still are a character. And I'm telling you, Barry, my buddy here has been facing it on head on for a long time. So I think you got some good times still ahead of you, my friend. So that whole thing about that interview with the kid and calling it a Barry Melrose, you must have found that humorous at the time.
I won an Emmy. It was unbelievable. Everybody else is turning all these, little stories in and stuff, and I turned that in, and it was great. And the kids were fantastic. And I've been to after that, I went to six or seven straight, it was just a blast to do it. But the kids were great. They loved it. And I got to get them to do what I want, and they were fantastic. And it was just lightning caught in a bottle, we got the permission of the league, and it was a fantastic shoot, and everybody had a great time.
Yeah, it's so many great memories. You've been a character and a half. It was great seeing some of these great tributes to you. Certainly well deserved. You certainly entertained us for 50 years, and I'm hoping that you're going to entertain us for more, Barry. I don't know if you've had an opportunity at all. I know this has been a really, really difficult week and difficult time for you and your family. I don't know if you had any opportunities whatsoever to watch any of the early opening NHL games, but if you've got any assessment whatsoever of this year's version of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We would love to hear it.
I'll try and do that for you. And I'm a hockey fan. I want good. And hopefully Toronto being in the league would be good for the NHL. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
Any prediction for the Leafs this year, Barry?
You know what? I look at the Leafs at the start of the year, and this team's going to win. This team's going to win. They got everything. Look at this. They got the first, got the second pick overall. This team can't lose. It's impossible for this team to lose. So, this team last won in '67, I think, something like that.
Yep.
And wealthiest team in the league. Everything that a team could possibly want. Passion, great building, new building. Everything is state of the art, and they haven't won since '67. So it's. I love them for them to win. I think it's great for the NHL if they win, but it's hard to believe in them. They've let just about everyone down. So hopefully this will be the year that they can start to climb to become the Toronto Maple Leafs again.
Well, after their first two wins, I've already put in for a seat on Bay Street for the parade. So that happens every time at this time of year. Barry, we're going to let you go, but before we let you go, something I need to say, and then I'm going to turn it over to Naz. I'm sure he'd like to have the last word with you out of this segment. You are one of the most important figures in American hockey television history. There's no question. I hope, and we've had some difficulty and criticisms of the selection committee at the Hockey Hall of Fame over the years. I hope that they see it in their hearts and in their minds to award you the Foster Ewart Award, and that you take your rightful place as a broadcaster in the Hockey Hall of Fame. And I want to see that sooner rather than later. You deserve to be there for what you've done for the game in the United States and Canada on a broadcasting perspective. And we're certainly will push as much as we can. On another perspective, I want to thank you for taking the time for us this morning to be transparent, to share with our listeners your challenges and what you're facing. I want to thank your wife, Cindy, because I'm sure she was important in getting permission for us to talk to you. And I want to thank my co-host, Naz Marchese, for being an inspiration to me for all the time I've been on the air. And I wish you nothing but the best, my friend. You've got an incredible support network, and may God bless you. And I think it's only appropriate, and I know how much this interview meant to my co-host, Naz Marchese. I know this is very important to him. So I will honor him by turning it over to him to finish this segment. Thank you, Barry.
Life lives on. You got to remember that. And just continue on. Things will get better.
Thanks so much for joining us, Barry. God bless you. And on behalf of all our listeners and Naz and myself, we wish you all the best. Thanks, Barry.
Thank you very much, guys. It's a pleasure to do this interview and one I'll remember forever.
Thank you so much. Barry Melrose. We can't wish him nothing but the best, Naz. And, we got a minute left, as I'm sure you can see, Naz. I'm getting a little bit emotional about this. Let me collect my voice here a little bit.
Let me say something.
Walt. Go ahead, Naz.
I'd like to... I'd like to thank my wife.
Anyways, I'm going to take over for my good friend and my co-host, Naz Marchese. He's very emotional. I know, I've known Naz since we were kids. We played high school football together. I've known him and his wife, Mary Lane, and his entire family for a long, long time. And I know what Naz was trying to say right now is he's paying tribute to his family and his wife and his kids. I'll leave it at that. Thank you. Thank you to our listeners for listening in. We hope we've been able to, even provide some support perhaps to some listeners out there that are suffering from this disease. But, As my good friend and co-host Naz Marchese said, don't get discouraged. Never give up hope. And keep fighting. Naz, thank you very much. To all our listeners, have a fantastic week. We'll be back again next Sunday morning. Thank you.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.